This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Everybody, Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. Yes, we do. Boy, a lot going on. Quick review of the week. Went up to Frederick to the Saltwater Show last week on Saturday and met some nice folks up there. Monday, went goose hunting with my grandson Jacob and our social media coordinator Laura Rigsby, and everybody limited on geese. We were with Jim Schillinger from Papa John's Farm. What a great guy. Good goose caller. Knows what he's doing. Put out a great set. All stuffers. All stuffers. How do you like that? Not many guys hunt over stuffers anymore, but we did. And we had a great time, and everybody limited out. So that was good. Been busy running here and there across the state all week, working on getting the next issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazine put together for the spring issue, and just covered up with paperwork and articles and you name it, coordinating with the folks from fisheries and talking to folks from wildlife. And we've got a lot to talk about this hour of the show. Next hour of the show, Keith Whiteford will be here. We're going to be talking about eels, which you may have seen these shows on I don't know if it's History Channel or one of those, about these little eels that they harvest up in Maine. Well, we're going to talk about the eels, which are important to Maryland's fishery and economy and crabbing and you name it. And we're going to talk about that today. So first things first, the Great American Outdoor Show. I gave two sets of tickets away last week. They were written on a piece of paper. The names and addresses were written on a piece of paper. I even called one of the guys to get his address. In all that hubbub, that piece of paper is somewhere in my house. Somewhere. And I say that literally. It is somewhere. But it's a half a sheet of paper with your names and addresses on it. So if I gave you tickets last weekend for the Great American Outdoor Show, you need to call me today, if you're listening, I hope, and give your name and address to Brian. And I know the names, but I'm not going to give them on the air. You've got to call and give your name and address to Brian, our producer. So I'll make that announcement again this hour, but I just is somewhere. I'm embarrassed, I know, but it is what it is. So I'm honest with you. I'll put it right out there for you. Okay, we had a guy call about Nutria last week. He has a bet with somebody. It's a $5 bet. Wanted to know why Nutria were introduced into Maryland. Were they introduced to become weed cutters and get rid of some type of unwanted vegetation? Or were they introduced for the fur trade? Well, if you go to the Maryland Sea Grant, there's a brief there on aquatic invasive species in the Chesapeake Bay. That's the Maryland Sea Grant. You can Google that. And it tells you what Nutria are. Prolific aquatic rodents native to South America. They were introduced in the United States during the late 1800s and early 1900s to establish a fur farm industry. However, Nutria farming was not successful, and Nutria were intentionally released into the wild or translocated to the southeast to serve as, quote, weed cutters to control undesirable vegetation. The species was first introduced into Maryland's lower eastern shore in 1943 in order to establish an experimental fur station at the Blackwater Wildlife Refuge. The Nutria population in the wildlife refuge increased to approximately 50,000 critters by the early 1990s. So, and then there's more about that. If you'd like to read about Nutria, go to the Maryland Sea Grant, print out the brief. It's 2 pages. It's got a picture. It's got a picture of their range. There's a big hot spot there on the lower eastern shore, particularly Dorchester County, of the nutria. Of course, the federal extermination program has had limited success. So that's it. So to answer your question, to win the bet in Maryland, fur trade. Overall, in the southeast, weed cutters. Maryland, fur trade. Hope that clears that up. Three-rod limit. Three-rod limit. Yes. Let me go back and find that. Let's see. The three-rod limit. Announcement came out yesterday. You can go to the DNR Fisheries homepage. And as soon as this loads up here, this computer, did you feed the pine squirrels that run the computer today? You fed them? Yeah, I know it's only 18. Wonder how they worked when it was zero in the morning. But they were slow then, huh? Morning show probably. Anyway, let's see. Here is the title of the notification on the fisheries news story. And it says, any minute now, you can see this on DNR. DNR to request removal of the 3 fishing rod limit per person in tidal waters. Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service will proceed with an emergency regulation in February 2014 to remove the 3 fishing rod limit per person that was established for tidal waters nearly 7 months ago. This decision was based upon new information that suggests this regulation may have a negative socioeconomic impact on tackle shops and sports fishermen, and because the primary objective of this regulation was to address a statewide inconsistency in rod limits rather than conservation. A letter and full explanation of emergency regulations to remove the limit is available on Sport Fish Advisory Commission's January 28th meeting webpage, and you can click on that link and read the 4-page letter if you'd like. Anglers are encouraged to frequently visit our regulatory webpage at dnr.maryland.gov, and then it goes on from there, to stay aware of and provide input on potential fishing rule changes. So, as we talked about last week, a rule went into effect for this season that would limit you to 3 rods per person in tidal fishing areas. The tackle shops, as previously mentioned, I had face-to-face discussion with shop owners, were up in arms about this, claimed that the department snuck this in under the radar, when in reality, this program has been under review since 2011, 2 years, almost 3, in the General Assembly. A series of public meetings were held, scoping meetings, whether they're called, where the proposed regulations were put forth to the public. Cambridge, less than 10 people attended, or 10 people attended the meeting. Annapolis, less than 10, which is where the bulk of the tackle shop owners could have concentrated because they're not that far away from there, some of them. And then out in western Maryland, which has, you know, tidal fishing is meaningless to the folks out in Garrett County, but some of the other regulations had, you know, had impact out there. And so they passed this 3-rod limit. Well, once it started to go into effect, people got aware of it. Emails went back and forth. Fingers were pointed. And I covered it here last week. And you can go back and listen to the podcast. I'm not going to review that whole thing again. However, I find the letter to the Maryland Sport Fisheries Advisory Commissioners and fishing tackle shop businesses, sports fishermen, and other interested parties. Very interesting. It was written by our director, Tom O'Connell, on January 23rd concerning the emergency regulations, the conservation measures, and things like that. So here is a couple of suggestions. This issue highlights the need for all of us to examine our role in fisheries management and what changes are needed to avoid situations like this happening again. Maryland DNR Fisheries Service wants input from the fisheries stakeholders and believes it's a key part of the fisheries management process. We offer the following suggestions as a starting point. DNR Fisheries Service will work towards including more specific language in public scoping and regulatory proposals, especially for broad encompassing rule changes such as fishing gear regulations. DNR Fisheries Service commits to establishing a more direct working relationship with fishing tackle businesses. Shouldn't the fishing tackle businesses organize and have more contact with DNR Fisheries? That's what I think, but that's me. Hey, what do I know? I've only been doing this 30 years. Members of the Sport Fish Advisory Commission and other advisory bodies, including work groups, can make a renewed commitment to review DNR Fisheries Service distributed materials, share and discuss this information with the constituents they represent, and advise the DNR Fisheries Service on the input they receive. In other words, when we send you the stuff for your meeting, send out an email and get some feedback and then take that back to the meeting rather than ignoring it. Organized sport fishing associations, especially those which have members on an advisory body, can help by disseminating information on potential rule changes to their members, and also encourage their members to take advantage of DNR Fisheries Service's outreach tools, such as subscribing to our email list and following us on Facebook and Twitter. Sport fishermen and fishing tackle businesses can frequently visit the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service webpage and take advantage of the outreach tools described above and on the following page to learn about and provide input and potential fishing rule changes. It seems like we're all on the same side here. We all want fishing rules to be based on science and take into consideration public input. I look forward to working with all involved to ensure our constituents are well-informed and provide an opportunity to provide input on fisheries conservation and management issues. Signed by Tom O'Connell, Fisheries Director. And then there's more. There's another page there on a couple pages that you can review on your own. So go to the fisheries page on the DNR website and you can review that yourself. Well, we have an interview coming up with Chris O'Hara from the Great American Outdoor Show. We have some information on stamps that apply to your license, in particular waterfowl stamps. And we'll tell you about all that when we come back from our break. Let's take our first break, and we'll be right back.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
I enjoy the memories of my hunts as much as I enjoy hunting. The best way to honor the game that you have taken is by preserving your trophy through taxidermy. My taxidermist is Don Travis of Travis Taxidermy near Chestertown. Don has mounted over a dozen ducks for me, my best buck, and my pronghorn antelope with skill and craftsmanship. I wouldn't have it any other way, and neither should you. With over 40 years of experience, Travis Taxidermy has completed specimens from wood ducks to whitetails for thousands of Maryland hunters to the exotic big game animals of Africa and Alaska and beyond. But he would just as soon see you with your buck or your youngster's first goose. choose. Is Travis Taxidermy the cheapest guy in town? No, sir, he's not. Nor is he the most expensive, but in my opinion, he's just the best. For 40 years, Don and his crew have been transforming skin and bones into magnificent creations that will let you relive the memory of your hunt for a lifetime. Call Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107. Stop by the showroom or visit TravisTaxidermy.com. Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107, exceeding your expectations for over 40 years.
The Wild is calling. The Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, is coming to the Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg, February 1st to the 9th, celebrating the outdoor traditions treasured by millions of Americans, with celebrity appearances from Michael Waddell, Lee and Tiffany, and many more. Plus tons of events for the entire family, including the NRA Country Jam. Start your adventure now by getting your tickets at GreatAmericanOutdoorShow.org.
Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
You're on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting. Hey, this goes out to Melinda, who works at the Royal Farm.
I said, you gotta get up early. And honey, you ain't gonna like it, cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined, so I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage.
Melinda loves camouflage.
Brown and green, she's the sexiest tree I've ever seen. Can't concentrate when we're sitting in my stand. She's holding my gun and I'm holding her hand.
301,
even when it's cold,
that's
she's still hot. My baby looks good in camouflage.
Love camouflage. That was for you, Melinda. Hope you're listening. All right, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Here's where we are. Mentioned first thing that the two of you guys that won tickets to the Harrisburg show, that would be the Great American Outdoor Show last week, need to call me. I need your contact information. Need your phone number and addresses again. Yes, I'm sorry. That piece of paper is somewhere in my house. And I need to send your tickets out because it's got the addresses on it. It's in my house. I just can't lay my hands on it. So give us a call here, 410-922-6680, if I told you you won tickets last week. And I hope you call. Okay. Got some word the other day that guys up on the flats and elsewhere were being tagged for violations for not having their federal migratory bird hunting and conservation stamp on their license and signed. Well, here's the deal. This stamp is required for all waterfowl hunters, including those who are not required to purchase a hunting license. Hunters under the age of 16 are exempt. The federal duck stamp must be signed in ink to be valid. If you order your stamp online, www.duckstamp.com, you'll receive a purchase code. If you purchase your stamp from a sport license agent, DNR online licensing, or a DNR licensing and registration center, you'll receive a printed receipt. Both the purchase code and the printed receipt will be accepted as evidence of the purchase for 45 days and must be possessed while hunting waterfowl and coots. The paper stamp will be mailed to the purchaser. The proof of purchase will expire after 45 days, after which purchaser then must possess the stamp signed in ink while hunting waterfowl and coots. Now, it doesn't have to be attached to your license, but you've got to have the signed stamp in your possession. Got that? Well, what's happened is guys that don't have, you know, they got the thing on their license. They think they're good to go. They put the stamp in the drawer at home or somewhere, like that missing sheet of paper with the addresses on it. It's in my house somewhere. They go out with their license. They think they're covered. But they bought their license at the beginning of the season. 45 days later, they're not covered. They've got to have the stamp, the signed stamp with them. So they're being written up. And this is a federal offense because these are federally protected migratory waterfowl. Now, the Maryland stamp, this stamp, the Maryland Migratory Game Bird Stamp, which is the $9 stamp, is required for all migratory game bird hunters. Coots, doves, rails, snipe, waterfowl, and woodcock, including persons not required to have a hunting license and holders of the senior hunting license. Hunters must possess the printed receipt showing proof of purchase of the Maryland Migratory Bird Stamp while hunting migratory game birds. Hunters are not required to sign and attach the Maryland Migratory Game Bird Stamp to their license. The Harvest Information Program permit is issued in conjunction with the Maryland Migratory Game Bird Stamp. So, you got some confusion there and some things that are different between the state stamp and the federal stamp. However, if you're waterfowl hunting and the agents of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service show up, this might be the conversation.
Oiga, señor. We are federales, you know, the mountain police.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Or not. Here's our interview with Chris O'Hare from the Great American. What? I have to do is press a button? What do you look at me like that for? You waiting for me to set it up, which I was trying to do? All right. Here's our interview with Chris O'Hara, the show director, the show foreman, head guy, whatever he is. He's the big guy for the Harrisburg Great American Outdoor Show. I'm with Chris O'Hara here on the phone. He's the show manager of the Great American Outdoor Show coming up February 1st through the 9th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Alan.
Hey, buddy. Looks like the show's shaping up to be pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Going to be a great one. It's going to be definitely bigger and better than anybody's ever seen. We've got more than we've, you know, the show's totally different.
More exhibitors.
In a better way, and it's going to be just going to be amazing. We're excited.
A whole different layout than what folks are used to when they went to the old show a couple years back, and it sounds like you guys have some exciting things planned. I know that. Let's talk first about some of the exhibitors, some of the hunting folks. I'm guessing the guides and outfitters are going to be back.
Oh yeah, we've got a full guides and outfitter hall. In fact, we even moved this product in there in the past. We moved that out, so it's all pure guides and outfitters in there. But we've got two full halls of hunting products. Got a hall of fishing products, a hall of archery products, and there's another hall of shooting sports, power sports. I mean, it's just the layout's different. You know, I encourage people to go to our website, greatoutdoorshow.com, greatamericanoutdoorshow.com,
right,
or .org, I apologize, greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
That's right.
to check everything out, look at the new floor plan, look at all the seminar schedules and events and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Tell us about, so you've got the a little better organized, let's say, than it used to be.
Definitely. We've got a new floor plan. We've got a new, we've got big places for people to sit and relax, stay in the show longer, you know, but we've adjusted the floor plan even just so everything's organized better and the traffic flows better.
No, that's good. We need good traffic flow. We're going to look at the floor plan on greatamericanoutdoorshows.org, and we'll figure out where we want to go and where we want to plan our trip. Tell us about some of the special guests.
Yeah, we've got some of the biggest names out there. I mean, you know, we've got Michael Waddell, Lee and Tiffany Lacoste, Ben Shockey, Ralph and Vicky, Chris Brackett. We've got Roland Martin, Kimmy Corton. I mean, we got a list of over 40-some, celebs and outdoor, experts that are going to be there, both local and regional and national. So, I mean, we can pretty much cover everything that you'd want to see or hear, waterfowl experts like Sean Mann, Fred Zink, turkey hunting experts like Matt Moret. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Sure, I know a number of those guys. I've met a number of those guys, and of course, we can watch them here on our cable channel, Xfinity Channel 728 on the Outdoor Channel, which is the sponsor of the show this year.
Yep, Outdoor Channel is the presenting sponsor. We have a big presence with us. We've also got two other sponsors, Cabela's and Ram Trucks.
Exactly. Great. Well, that's good to hear. So the dates are February 1st through the 9th. That's the traditional timeline for the Great American Outdoor Show. And no shortage of firearms vendors and ammunition and things to buy for the gun owner, right?
Yep. We've got a full shooting sports hall with all the major gun manufacturers. You know, but we've also got, you know, full archery hall with archery manufacturers and fishing hall with fishing, you know, fishing products and boats and RVs and campers. And, you know, so it's just not, you know, it's just not guns. It's not just, you know, because the NRA is running it, it's not just guns. It's everything. It's all-encompassing outdoor lifestyle, show.
Sure, exactly. And, I mean, if you want to buy, camo pillowcases, I'm sure you can do that, too. For your house, I have no doubt. So, or even beef jerky, I'm sure all that stuff's up there, which is good. I mean, you need that kind of stuff. The admission this year, Chris.
Ticket prices have dropped. We're $12 for adults, $10 for seniors, $6 for kids. We offer a 2-day pass for $20. Again, you can buy your tickets online before you come to the show. GreatAmericanOutdoorShow.org.
Right.
Or you can buy them at the door. Prices. Same, yeah. But I always encourage everybody to go on the website, check out the floor plan, look at all the exhibitors, events, everything that's going to be there. Pick
exactly.
Up online when you come.
Now tell us about how people can get in there. I know there's parking there at the facility. Are there any shuttle buses running?
Yep, there's parking at the facility on site, and there's the traditional shuttle buses running from the Elmerton Avenue lot. On the weekend, we have the college hack, which is right across the street, but we're also running the free buses from the Harrisburg Mall. And then we've got an additional lot down on Cameron Street, the old post office lot. It's about a mile from the facility, straight past the facility on Cameron Street on the right.
Okay. I've always found that, the bus parking is the best way to go if you like to go. But, certainly arrive early. Tell me about the hours, if you would.
The hours are Saturdays are 9 to 7. Sundays are 10 to 5.
Okay.
And Monday through Friday is 10 to 7.
Okay. That's good. That's good hours. So... All right. Well, now, you're having some entertainment as well. Is that mostly in the evening, all day long? How does that work?
We have a concert on Saturday the 8th. It just got announced yesterday, the replacement, Brantley Gilbert. So there'll be a huge country concert that night. Friday night the 7th, there's a NRA Foundation banquet. So, those are great things to do and come in on the weekend.
That's great. Now, who's the featured star at the Saturday night concert?
Brantley Gilbert.
Great. Gotcha.
Big country star, yep.
Sure. Wonderful. All right. Well, Chris, anything else you want to tell us about it other than get your butt up here and go and enjoy the show?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've been doing this for a long time, been associated with the previous show, and I tell everybody, you've never seen an outdoor show like this before. It's the purest outdoor show that you'll ever see, and it's also still the largest in the country, really largest in the world at the time, so. Come out, be a part of it. If you love the outdoors, we'd love to have you here.
Very good, Chris. Hey, thanks. Chris O'Hara, show manager of the Great American Outdoor Show, coming up February 1st through the 9th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, at the Farm Show Complex. Everything is online that you need to find out, the floor plan, the directions. You can buy your tickets online also at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. Thanks, Chris. Have a great show.
Thanks, Alan.
All right. Hey, we're back with Alan here live, and we want to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're getting ready for fishing season right now, but I want to tell you, I talked to Billy the other day about shotguns. Of course, this is the last day of duck season. Goose season last day is coming up on the 28th. He's been shooting the Browning A5 for a season. He said that thing handles any shell. He says anything that's 2 3/4, 3 inches, he said, I use it all the time. He said, I shoot ducks and geese with it. And he said, the recoil is not bad. He said, it is a very, very, very soft shooting gun. He thinks it's one of the best firearms that Browning ever came out with. And the A5 is available. That's the A5 available at Clyde Sports Shop. 100,000 round guarantee or 5-year guarantee. It's got a recoil operated system rather than a gas drive. And you can check that out. Now, I was at a gun shop the other day. Guys were bringing in their semi-automatic camo firearms manufactured by another manufacturer. And I told him, you should take a look at Maxis. Who makes Maxis? I said, well, if you like a camo 3.5-inch shotgun for waterfowl, Browning makes it. Yeah, we'll check that out. Well, I think they should. So there's the Maxis semi-automatic which is a gas-operated system. Then there's the A5. And then I want to tell you about the BPS pump. It's available in all gauges, 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10 gauge. It's the only bottom ejection pump shotgun on the market. It's got a DuraTouch armor coating, Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo with three Invector Plus choke tubes. That's all. Those firearms are available at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, 410-242-6108. Clyde's Sports is the website, and you can check that out for yourself.
Don't be fooled by cheap crab prices. That's bull stuff. NBS Seafood offers live Louisiana blue crabs during the off-season. Avoid the pre-steamed, mushy, flavorless crab scandal. Get your live crabs at NBS Seafood. You can enjoy your crabs tonight. Cook your own crabs to unlock that special flavor that fresh steamed crabs are famous for. Just 20 minutes in your steamer, so good your taste buds scream. We even have the crab spice for you. Call NBS Seafood at 410-271-3202. NBS Seafood now has Chincoteague and Pocomoke oysters in the shell or by the pint. Maryland crab meat, live Maine lobsters, live crawfish, wild-cut Gulf shrimp, and many fresh and flash frozen delights, too. NBS Seafood has a roadside stand at 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie next to Jim Donnie's RV. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 2:30 to 6:30, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6:30. That phone number is 410-271-3202, 410-271-3202 for live crabs. NBS Seafood, no bull stuff sold here. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. The Doe Harvest Challenge is now statewide. Deer hunters, by donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
It's your chance to sound off on local, national, and international developments from 9 to noon on the Tom Marsh Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only three win the Green Beret.
All right, let's go to the caller one more time. If you're a listener and you won tickets to the Great American Outdoor Show last week, and I called you or I didn't call you, you supplied us with your name and address, and you're listening today, I need you to call back and give me that information again. Matt in Joppa, then Josh in Mount Airy. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
You.
Great. What's up?
Hey, a couple questions, Alan. Are they great on the new show? Will they actually have like compared to the SHOT Show? Will they actually have, you know? I know they'll have dealers. Will they actually have manufacturers too, you reckon?
That's what he said. He said a whole hall full of manufacturers. I mean,
okay.
This is sponsored by the NRA, so
okay.
You know that. I would suggest to you that the manufacturers will be there in droves.
Okay.
You can go online and look at the exhibitor list if you have a question.
I will do that when I get home, Alan. The other question is, Alan, I just need some help. A lot as far as when deer hunting, Alan, we have a lot of problems as far as trying to get rid of our carcasses. I know it probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but the landfill tell you they'll take them, and then when you get there, they won't take them. You can't put them in the trash. And I just want to know your thoughts and what, if you kill more than two or three and you process them yourself, it becomes, it's a lot of waste,
Yeah, I do.
And you can't find anybody and that's why I think you see them on the side of the road where your guys have thrown them out of their pickups and so on and so forth. But it sure would be nice to know.
Thanks for suggesting that, by the way, Matt.
Excuse me?
Thanks for suggesting that.
I didn't mean it that way, Alan.
I know. Yeah. But I understand the problem. I do. And we'll toss that out there and we'll see what other people do. I know guys that, that have property on their own woods, and they take everything back to the property and they have a spot where they have a boneyard. Now, of course,
gotcha.
There's going to be foxes and stuff, and coyotes, maybe drag some pieces of them around. But that's, what the folks that I know do with them. And I mean, I've seen those boneyards in some places on some of the properties that I hunt, actually. The guys cut them up themselves, and what do you do with them? Well, you give them back to nature, and they eventually go back to dust, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, so to speak. But if you don't want to put them back on the property, or for the landowner won't let you put them on the property, you do have a problem. My suggestion would be to reduce them to the lowest common denominator and see if your trash guy will take them.
You know what? The county left me a note on my trash can and told me no more.
I don't know what to tell you then.
I'm just saying, Alan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. There is a place, and I'm not sure where it is. I think it is Baltimore County, where they are turning deer carcasses into fertilizer.
Whether is that Valley Protein?
No, Valley Protein. That's 1-800-DEAD-COW. They're the ones that turn them into. Yeah, real seriously, that's their number. That's the ones that turn them into dog food. But they don't make personal. They don't make personal collections, and they do charge you to pick up your. This is where a number of the meat processors use those guys, but they charge you per barrel to pick up their carcasses.
And you said there was somebody you were talking about just now that actually.
I was trying to get out that there's a landfill that turns the roadkill carcasses into fertilizer for the roadways. That they put back into the environment. I guess they allow the carcasses to turn into goo. They turn them into fertilizer but I don't know that they take, quote, donations of carcasses.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you skin them and you skin them well, take the skins to the local deer processor, they'll take them because they sell them. And, the rest, then that leaves you with bones to get rid of.
Right.
But I mean, your local deer processor will be glad to take the skins because that's a couple bucks in his pocket.
I got you.
I don't have a other suggestion other than that. So,
thank you, Alan.
All right, buddy. Sorry.
See ya.
Here he goes, Josh. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, Alan. How are you, sir?
Good, man. What's going on?
I just wanted to make a comment about the outdoorsman show up in Harrisburg. I'm pleasantly surprised and glad to hear that it might be getting back to its prime time.
Oh yeah, I don't think it would take any effort at all, and I think that it was due, to be honest with you,
for a
reset.
I never missed it when I was in high school in the early 90s because it was sort of like what Matt had said previously. It was kind of like a SHOT Show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you had the guys that were inventing stuff in their garages coming up there and selling their product.
That's right.
I mean, I still have a tree stand that I bought in the early 90s, and it's still my go-to climbing tree stand.
Was it a big shot?
I can't remember. It was in bare aircraft grade aluminum that I ended up having to paint myself. But the guy was making it in his garage in Florida.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was that era, that early 90s era. It was just
no question.
People that were innovators coming up to that show and selling their product.
No question. Well,
so,
you're certainly.
And then it became a sales outlet for outfitters.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm sure there's money in that, but
oh, yeah.
it didn't interest me.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And so I just wanted to say I'm glad to hear that the show's getting back to the old ways, and it's going to be good.
Yes, indeed. So, hey, were you included on the list of the regulation concepts for the 2014 through 2016 seasons?
No.
Oh, well, they're coming out. The stakeholders meeting is coming up here at in February, and I think maybe your state guy's going to be there or was informed. Your state.
Well, I'm sure Steve was.
Yeah,
sure Steve was.
Steve Bird was probably informed, but they're talking about a winter turkey season.
What?
Yeah, create a 7-day either sex winter wild turkey season statewide.
Is the population growing that fast?
Yep. The season would begin on the third Saturday in January, and rifles would be prohibited in all counties. The season would share the current fall bag limit of one either six turkey. This would provide it, the rationale is would provide a new hunting opportunity for hunters statewide and help retain fall turkey hunters in the western region without negatively affecting the statewide turkey population. The January timing of the season will reduce conflicts resulting from the widespread use of legal bait for deer on private land before and after the deer firearm season. There are some. What do you think of that?
Well, I love turkey hunting. I'm getting to the point where I like it more than deer hunting anymore.
But, yeah, well, the request to expand fall turkey hunting opportunities statewide have increased. Potential issues have kept the Wildlife and Heritage Service from implementing a statewide fall season. A winter turkey season minimizes these concerns, and there's more. And if we have time, we don't have time today to get into it, but there is more. Now they're thinking about shifting the fall turkey season 1 week later. Begin the first Saturday of November. They're also talking about eliminate the current quota hunt approach and open the bear season for a predetermined number of days. So, in other words, instead of saying, you know, we can kill 210 bears, well, they'll open it for 4 days, and that'll be the season. They'll still have the quota, but then they want to eliminate the requirement that bear hunting permittees and sub-permittees maintain visual contact while bear hunting. And they also want to change the structure of the permittee, sub-permittee hunting teams by eliminating the landowner sub-permittee and allowing each permittee to assign two sub-permittees instead of one sub-permittee and one landowner sub-permittee. These are concepts coming up.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that one, that last one you're talking about, but especially since I've been putting in for preference points.
Well, you're still only allowed to kill one bear.
Well, I understand that, but what I mean is...
And you don't have to pick a sub-permittee. You can go by yourself.
That's right, but what I'm saying is, and I guess it's kind of selfish, is I've been putting in for bonus points for a few years, and if they just open it up to everybody, then...
No, you'll still have to go through the lottery system. You'll still have to go through the lottery system. But what they're saying is if you get picked, you can pick two sub-permittees, and one of them doesn't have to be the landowner.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying.
And your hunting party doesn't have to stay in visual contact with each other. But the season will be established for, you know, just 4 days, 3 days, whatever it might be.
Okay.
Yeah. In white-tailed deer, they're going to consider review the pro and cons of requiring mandatory antler restrictions for Region A. They're going to have a meeting with the Region A guys, the stakeholders, prior to the February 12th meeting. Sika deer, increase the Sika deer bag limit to 3 per weapon with no more than 1 antlered. And increase the Sika deer antlerless bag limit to allow 2 antlerless deer or 3, pending on the considered bag limit change, to be harvested during any portion of the early or late muzzleloader season. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
The most important one to me is establish a regulation to prohibit the wanton waste of whitetail and sika deer. To require hunters to make every reasonable and legal attempt to take possession of whitetail and sika deer. The intent of the considered regulation will be to make it illegal to knowingly kill or wound a deer while hunting and not make a reasonable and legal attempt to take it into possession. The regulation would require a person to make a reasonable effort to take possession of deer, but would not supersede laws or regulations requiring written permission to enter private land and certain public properties. Deer that have successfully been checked in may be butchered in the field to allow the hunter to take possession of only the edible parts. So if you lose one overnight, Foxes get it. You find it. You want to take the back straps. You may do so.
There isn't a want and waste statement already.
No. Did you know that?
Well, I must be from Pennsylvania. I thought that we had an obligation to do everything that we had to.
We have an ethical and moral obligation to, yes, but we don't have a legal obligation to.
Did not know that.
There you go.
I always was under the impression if it went on a neighboring property and you know, you went and sought permission to retrieve that animal, that if you got refused, you could call the DNR.
You can. You still can do all that.
Okay.
Yeah, you can still do all that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm surprised to hear that. It must be from Pennsylvania laws, then, that I'm used to. Somewhere that I hunt, it's a requirement that you have to make full effort to retrieve that game.
Yep. Exactly.
But I must be getting confused.
So, well, anyway,
on
Josh.
On the other subject, we're having another meeting this afternoon, and you'll see a follow-up email.
Okay, I was wondering why I didn't see anything, so.
We couldn't get through everything that we needed to get through in 2 hours last Saturday.
I got you. You're talking about the 21st Annual Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Benefit Auction and Banquet coming up Sunday, March 2nd, and that's in Clarksville at the Ten Oaks Ballroom. It is a great time. I've been going for how many years? Shrimp, pit beef, loin back ribs, complimentary draft beer and soda. Noon to 3, great fundraiser for the Maryland Baltimore chapter of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Firearms, wildlife prints, all kinds of silent and live auctions, raffles and games and things like that. Good stuff to eat. And if anybody would like to go, they can certainly call Chuck Reel at 301-633-2776 or Carrie Reel at 301-996-7432. If anybody wants more information, email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and I'll get it to them. I'm the MC, so you'll be entertained by my humor, wit, and talent in bringing you the best entertainment for your money, Josh.
And you do a fine job.
For your money.
No, but seriously.
You get what you pay for, brother.
So. Better than what we got, bud.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Josh. See ya.
Good day.
Bye-bye. There he goes.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Wild is calling. The Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, is coming to the Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg, February 1st to the 9th, celebrating the outdoor traditions treasured by millions of Americans. Over 1,000 exhibitors at the largest sports and outdoor show in the world, plus tons of events for the entire family, including the NRA Country Jam. Start your adventure now by getting your tickets at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
Every now and then, you tag a nice buck or a pretty Drake duck, or you get a chance to go out west or Canada, Alaska, even Africa on a big game hunt, or your youngster bags his first deer or goose. Now you want to preserve the memory of that hunt and honor that trophy. Don Travis has mounted thousands of game animals from around the world at his shop, Travis Taxidermy, near Chestertown. Don's mounted over a dozen ducks for me, my best buck, my pronghorn antelope, with skill and craftsmanship. I wouldn't have it any other way, and neither should you. I like visiting my accountant, seeing his mountain lion, his coos deer, his elk, and his wife's African lion, all mounted by Travis Taxidermy. Is Travis Taxidermy the cheapest guy in town? No, sir, he is not. Nor is he the most expensive. In my opinion, he's just the best. For 40 years, Don and his crew have transformed skin and bones into magnificent creations that will let you relive the memory of the hunt for a lifetime. Call Travis Taxidermy at 410-778-4107 or visit travistaxidermy.com. Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107, exceeding your expectations for 40 years.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
The Savage Nation meets weeknights at 11 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Muskrat, muskrat, candlelight, doing the town and doing it right in the evening. It's pretty pleasing. Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam, do the jitterbug out in Muskrat Land and they shimmy. Sam is so skinny.
Shame about Captain and Tennille, isn't it? 39 years, breaking up. I don't know. Brian thinks it might have been the hat. I think he might have talked like a pirate too much.
Arr, Tennille, get me me breakfast there, wench.
Well, fur bears have some concept coming up for the trappers, too. Change the trap checking requirement for traps set in water or tidal marsh to once per two calendar days. The current trap check requirement for these traps is 36 hours. There's others. I don't know if we'll have a chance to get to them this week, but we will next for sure. And if you have a request for the concepts, please. Listen, if I gave you tickets last week for the Harrisburg show, the Great American Outdoor Show, you need to call me because I've lost your address and your contact information. It's in my house. Just can't find it. 410-922-6680. Coming up next, Keith Whiteford, Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Get out, stay safe.
Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your...